You probably looked at the title of the sermon that the message the Lord has for us today on this preparing the way of the Lord during our Advent season. To my heirs I bequeath my peace. And I really felt that it had nothing to do with the fact that 40 years of law practice, that doing wills and trusts and everything, but in actuality, when we read our passage, you're going to see that as heirs, those that know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they are heirs to the kingdom of God. And Jesus, who allowed that to happen, is saying, okay, here's the specific things I'm going to give to you as heirs. A specific personal thing is a bequeath. A devise is a specific real property gift. And then you have the residue or the residuary clause that covers everything else. And God gives us all that too in His kingdom. The theme for our second Sunday of Advent is peace. And the peace that we seek from God each day is quite different from the peace that the world presumes to offer, yet is never satisfying or fulfilling to our souls. John talked about, in his reading of the Advent candle, biblical peace. Biblical peace is more than just the absence of conflict, like a peace agreement. It is taking action to restore a broken situation. I hope you catch that. It's amazing to me the things that the world explains to us that we need to follow is completely contrary to what Scripture says is the narrow path. That peace, biblical peace, is an action to restore a broken situation. It's more than a state of inner tranquility. Biblical peace is a state of wholeness and completeness. Let us understand very clearly that biblical peace is not something that we can create on our own. We cannot gin up, no matter how much smoke, no matter how much oils that you burn, no matter what you do and humming, you cannot gin up biblical peace on your own, because biblical peace is a fruit of the Spirit and therefore can only originate from the character of God. Yahweh Shalom, as it says in Judges, which means the Lord is peace, is the only source of true and everlasting peace. Isaiah 9:6 refers to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, as the Prince of Peace. And it is from His hand, it is from the Prince of Peace's very hand, the face that we desire and long to kiss, that we are given peace in at least three ways. Will you please open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and follow along with me as we read verses 25 to 31 together, wherein Jesus declares, I know you'll see it, declares a portion of His last will and testament by bequeathing to His heirs those who were His disciples then and those who are His disciples today, bequeathing to us that we can claim today. We don't have to wait, because Christ has already died, buried, resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of the Father. In other words, our inheritance is available to us today. And here is that precious gift of peace. chapter 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Verse 27. Peace I leave to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go hence. The Lord's unceasing blessings be upon each and every single one of you in hearing the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14 to 17, Jesus actually is explaining these events that are to come. He's talking about Jesus' death. He's talking about His resurrection. He's talking about His ascension. And you may say, Pastor, why are you talking about His death when we are not in the Lent season, but we are in the Advent season? We are supposed to be talking about those things of the first coming of the Messiah and a baby being born to a virgin and that story. And I'm telling you, it's all the same story. The thing is, we get to celebrate Advent that much better because we already have seen Him come the first time and we know He is going to come again. So I do not categorize and separate out Christ's story and compartmentalize it. You have to tell the whole story. And that's what makes this part exciting. We see that in chapter 16, He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. Guys, gals, those who believe have already received the Holy Spirit. We no longer have to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He has already come. And He is not just coming and going as He did in the Old Testament. He has come into your heart for all eternity within us. And it is His Spirit that we have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We don't have to wait to unwrap the Christmas presents. It's available right now. The problem is, do you have the faith and trust to reach out and take it and claim it as your own? Or are you going to stay living in an environment where the ruler of this world wants you to be in darkness and wants you to be afraid? So the Holy Spirit, He talks about this Holy Spirit coming in chapter 16, that their sorrow will turn to joy, and we'll talk about joy next week. And I really wanted to read John 16, 25 to 33, but my time is short this morning. I hope that you will read, and I'll say it again, John 16, 25 to 33. He says your hearts will turn to joy. You know why? Because they will have peace. At that time, the world enjoyed a certain kind of peace. I could tell you right now, our politicians today, we always talk about, you know, peace, and it's very relative of what that means, you know, the stopping of shooting bullets back and forth or whatever. But at that time, the kind of peace that was happening was called Pax Romana. And that was a Roman peace. A peace that was founded on Roman military skills, funded by Roman taxation, and maintained by Roman soldiers. In other words, the peace that most of the people then, and I dare say the peace that most people today in the United States as well as all around the world, that the peace that they only know about is the peace that comes from domination and powerful ruthlessness rather than biblical peace. The real kind of peace that Christ offers gives confidence to those living for Christ and the strength to say, if God is for us, who is against us? That's an amazing type of peace that transcends anything this world has to offer. The Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah, uses the word shalom to denote a sense of calm or tranquility between individuals or groups or nations. And the Greek word eirene means one or unity or accord, peace, quietness, and rest, originating from the root word ero, which means to join or to tie together into a whole. But I say this, the foundational focus of peace that only Jesus has to offer, listen now, is the spiritual harmony brought about by an individual's restoration and being made whole with God. It's an action. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we are restored to a relationship of peace with God. This is the deep abiding peace between our hearts and our Creator that cannot be taken away, and the ultimate fulfillment of Christ's work as the Prince of Peace. God's peace, along with all the other characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, is a reflection of His presence in us, which then, as you are experiencing biblical peace and the other characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, I can tell you right now, you cannot contain it all in one being. There has to be a spewing out. You're compelled to spill it out over relationships with others. You can't keep it in. There's no going back. Our unity as a church body in purpose and in gentleness, it would be impossible without the work of the Holy Spirit in us and the peace that we have with God, thanks to the first coming of the Messiah and His sacrifice on the cross for our sins. So, I said there are three things that come from the peace of God. What are those three things, three ways the Prince of Peace gives peace to us as His heirs of the family of God? Very quickly, the first one, Jesus is our peace with God. I could tell you right now, the person that probably had the hardest time, and every single one of you, if you are honest with the Lord and if you're honest with me, I could tell you right now, every single one of you have had situations where it might even be as deep as depression of saying, God, I beg you, please give me a clear conscience. Something that I did, something that I said, something that's going on chemically in my brain, I'm so ashamed that I have no peace, and I say, Lord, please. My prayer for each and every single one of you is that the Lord will give you the same clear conscience He gave Paul. And remember all the things that Paul did before his conversion. Many things to feel guilty about and shameful about, and having no peace. But Paul found peace, and God gave him a clear conscience to finish the race. That's my prayer for you. Jesus is our peace with God. Due to our sins, we were enemies with God, and we were separated from God. But Jesus restored our relationship with Him, and He took on our sins, and He died a horrible death on the cross. He provided a path for reconciliation, for wholeness, for completeness with God. And now, today, right now, we are joined to God. And we can have fellowship with Him. So the first thing the Prince of Peace gave us was peace with God. The second one is peace with others. Jesus is our peace with others. There are times in life, you may not know this, but there are times in my life where people didn't particularly care for me. They didn't like me. Whether the way I looked, I get side comments about my ponytail. They may not like my voice. They may not like Greeks. They may misunderstand my personality, my jokes, my humor, which, quite frankly, I am very funny. But I will tell you, sometimes we get a real pain in dealing with people. I pray that I am never that to you all. You are never that to me. But Jesus is our peace with others. In Him, we have reconciliation with others. We can live at peace with them and have fellowship with them and can live with others in unity and one accord through the bond of peace. As it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Which, by the way, is something I pray for each and every single one of you in my daily prayers. He empowers us by His Holy Spirit to, what does it say? Who will inherit the kingdom of God? Those that are peacemakers. And we can be peacemakers with our neighbors, with our friends, with our church members, with our enemies. Bless them and curse them not. Number three, so peace with God, peace with others, and here it is. Here it is. You're not comfortable with this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Peace with ourselves. Jesus is our peace with ourselves. In Him, we are a new creature. And He is making us whole, and He's making us complete like Him. And when trials come to tear us apart, He is our peace that keeps us together. He's our whole. He's our completeness. The biblical peace we seek is the kind that only comes from the fruit of the Spirit. It is the kind that both the Old Testament and the New Testament tells us that we must seek. We have to seek it out. Seek it out. And make peace with others. Hebrews 12:14 admonishes us. Are you ready? It tells us that we are to strive. That is a command. We are to strive for peace with one another. And the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Wow, that's powerful. But when we do seek peace and we make peace with a heart that is humble, biblical peace, you know what it will bring you? Another aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, it will bring you joy. For deceit is in the heart of those who desire evil. But those who plan peace have joy. How do we know all this is to be true? Because it is the Lord who ordains peace for us, and peace comes from God. And when is the most blatant example and evidence of God's peace being poured out upon us unceasingly? And when I pray for each and every single one of you, I say, Lord, I ask that You put Your hand, not only put Your loving arms wrapped around each and every single one of you and protect you, but keep you into this palm of His hand, in the center of the palm of His hand, and that He provides for you and meet all your needs and your wants and your desires according to His good pleasure. And then I say, Lord, put Your hand on the head of every single person at First Baptist Church of Piedmont. Put Your hand on their head and anoint them with oil and heal them in mind, body, heart, soul, and spirit. Grant them peace. It's in times of trouble. In Isaiah 26:3 assures us of this when the prophet prays to the Lord, You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You because he trusts You. So let us not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You should know that Jesus never promised that a peaceful life would be easy. He only promised that the Holy Spirit would come and be our helper. The Christian life should expect trials. We should expect tribulations. But if we call on Him, Jesus would give us the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. No matter what hardships you may be facing today, no matter what hardships you may be having today, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, psychologically, recreationally, educationally, vocationally, and family, you can ask for peace that comes from the power of the love of God, and it is not dependent on our own strength or on the situation around us. I'm going to take a step here. I'm going to ask Lori if she could come here in just a moment to lead us in our closing hymn. But I'm going to lead us in prayer right now, right where you're at. Stay seated. And I want to pray this prayer. I mean, join me in the prayer and affirm, because there are people here and there are people watching that need healing. Great healer, I need your peace and your healing in my life today. I need your peace and your healing in my life right now. Grant me both so that I make and take heart and face whatever trial is set before me. Help me to press on in the face of life so that I may have the victory and you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As Lori comes, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For the presence of faith drives out all fear. If you believe that in life and in death you are in the God's loving hands, then you know what you possess right now. Hold out your hand. Everybody, hold out your hand. Everybody, as you're watching, hold out your hand. You possess shalom. And that transcends any anxiety and any fear. As an expression of our hope and our thankfulness of God's love and peace during this next week of Advent, let us rejoice with indescribable and excited and exalted joy. Rise up, as Jesus said to His disciples, and let us go hence, taking every opportunity to tell the world around us, prepare the way of the Lord, for the Lord is coming.